Yonta, if you want to come forward again so we can finish up. Okay, thank you. So we appended this matter, but we're back on section number 5. Board may review, discuss, and take action on premise license applications for Bella Vet, new premise, Maya Bella Yonta DBM.
Can I actually clarify, if that's the matter we're calling under, I don't think that I represent her on that one. Are we under the premise license specifically?
That's yes. The one that was continued.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then I'll set that. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so here's where we're at on this. I feel like we asked you a pretty straightforward question as far as what your address was, mm-hmm. and you said, yep, I'm still living there. However, upon further clarification, as you danced around it, which is kind of typical behavior, unfortunately, for you, that it became clear that you don't actually live there anymore. So my frustration is that is a lie. I mean, you did not share the truth, which was, again, where do you live? Is a pretty, what is your address, is a fairly cut and dry question. This is just, again, when we combine all of our history with you, Dr. Bella Pianta, and you know I've sat here before and told you to please just be honest and straightforward with us. Every meeting we do this again, it's just this constant dance around where, you know, we feel like we're maybe going to make progress and we just can't get there. And we can't get there for well over a year now. And it is beyond frustrating the amount of time that you take of board staff. And I just, you know, this history of lying suggests, you know, that I just don't know how you are regulatable as a, you know, as a veterinarian. And
I disagree with the fact that I was lying. I said I don't live there when Victoria asked me. So I disagree with that statement.
Okay, well. So, I've said my piece. I don't know if anyone else has anything else to share or, you know, what.
Just to clarify, that was after we were told, yes, that is my
piece. Yes.
Okay. And that sometimes I'm with my mom and that.
Right.
So, I said, nothing's clear.
It's never clear, exactly. Right. It's just, again, it's this dancing around, you know, around the truth. And I'm sorry, but you're not fooling any of us at this point. So, I mean, I don't.
Nobody's trying to fool you.
Well,
that's pretty good. And let's
just trying to drag us out.
We need to make progress on this, but we just keep getting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. We haven't had a cases like this in my experience in 10 years on this board.
Yeah.
I've never had a case like multiple cases like this from the same person. I don't understand. I don't know how we regulate in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm at.
I mean, I'm getting to the end of my rope.
How do you regulate?
So where are we on this one?
Yeah, I mean, so Mark, we're
should we go into
denied the premise because we don't have.
Well, the premise failed because she didn't change her act.
Right.
Right. Like that has to start over.
Right.
Yeah.
But on this discussion of relatability, is that a word?
I know, right?
Like,
that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. That's a combination.
Does that go into this case that we're talking about now, which was the premise, or did that open up a conversation that needs to go into the case that we opened for next month? How do we do that?
You have several options that's available to you. My understanding is right now she can't practice because her premise application is no longer, you know, valid or active or complete, whatever the word that you want to use is. It's incomplete. You do have the issue over the address. That does relate back to the first matter on the agenda. So you could revisit what you decided to do in that matter. You could just maintain the status quo, which is you've opened up two complaints so far. you've directed staff to re-agendize this for the possibility of consolidating the cases and taking further action next month.
Okay.
So it really is just, it's up to you.
So between, if we wait and agendize it for next month with the cases that we open, between now and then, there is no option for practicing because of the premise?
Well,
she gets a new premise license.
Yeah, I think as soon as she submits a new premise license, she would be able to resume practicing, and then they schedule the inspection.
So is there a way for us to not take a new premise application for the next 30 days until we discuss this at the next, because otherwise I would say, no, we need to discuss it now.
Because it's under statute, so.
Then I guess we have to reopen your first one.
Yes, and I want to add a non-compliance item to that, and that's the one that applies to.
Well, let's take one at a time.
Okay.
Let's get that one.
Okay.
Well, so we this one first. Basically we end this the premise one because it's done.
Correct.
That's
and
my
then
understanding.
We go back and re-discuss.
My concern is that there may have been practice of veterinary medicine without a premise license. If the move happened, at last board meeting, Dr. Bella Pianta reported that she was seeing clients. Not many, but seeing them.
Well, she said she was today until she got sick, which was 3 weeks ago, according
well,
to her.
If, right, if right. If you don't mind, for the record, can you just recall case number 42, combined cases 22136 and 2303, and then she is represented in that matter by these guys.
Okay, so we are concluded with the one item that we were on. So we are back to section number 4, administrative review of previous actions. Combined cases 22136 and 2303, so we are going to revisit those items. So I'll let you, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Not that was not already discussed. If the board has questions about some of these other topics that have been addressed, I will answer as best I can to get clarity, because I know that there is a dearth of that. So I'm here to answer questions, but I don't have anything else to say on this particular matter.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'd like to add an item of non-compliance that's add a citation from the previous motion that I made regarding this case, regarding the third interim consent agreement, and that would be to, let me find the exact. Notification of address or employment changes. Item 11A requires notification of the board within 7 days.
Can I just ask for clarification? Which interim consent agreement are you referring to? Because I thought
third interim.
Is that for the other matter?
Yes.
Well, no. It's the one that was issued in 22136. There were
right.
Several.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. I'm
okay.
adding to that list of
okay.
non-compliance
yeah.
apples, items. Sorry.
I'm wondering if we could be specific, if Dr. Bellaponte knows the exact date that she moved out of the apartment and moved into.
I think it was the 5th of February.
I'm sorry.
February 5th.
February 5th.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you have that will demonstrate that for the
right,
board?
Right. At this point, we need proof.
I'm sorry? I can try to see if I talk to someone.
Was it Elise End, or did you break it?
She
both breaks. So you can get information about when it was broken. We can, I don't have that as I sit here today, but it sounds like there is a paper trail that shows exactly when she left, and I can provide that to the board.
Okay, great. Well, we could cite the non-compliance now, and you could respond to it then.
Okay.
So I moved, that was my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Mark, do you want us to do roll call or?
It's not necessary.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Okay. All those, if there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And I hope you will take the chair's comments that for the future, we are going to want to see documentation. We're going to want to see a doctor's note. We're going to want to see confirmed date of move. When was the eviction effective? All of that. So it's unfortunate that we have gotten to this state, but for the past 18 months, veracity has not been what it should have been. So I'll stop my comments there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, does anybody, can we keep going? If anyone needs to step out for a bathroom break, please just do so and we can go without you. So that we are gonna circle back to some of our initial investigative reviews, because we've had some of you sitting in our audience for all day, as much as we love guests. I don't wanna keep you here forever. So let's see, we are going to do, here. 2437 first, okay.
Like 2437?
Yeah, and the IAR is number 7. I had number ones first, but she's doing it based on kind of who's in the audience. I don't know who's who.
Oh, so we changed.
So, okay. Going off right now. Let's try to be in our. All right, so Tracy wants to do 2437.
Sure, so case 2437, the complainant is Kaylee Velasco, the respondent is Rick Howard, DVM. On August 30th, 2023, radio and 8-year-old female Mustang was presented to Dr. Liebman due to a 3-month history of suspected respiratory disease. Radiographs revealed what appeared to be an entrella. The case was referred to respondent for evaluation. On September 5th, 2023, respondent performed exploratory surgery on the horse due to the suspected entrella. The stone was not found. However, one of the liver lobes had a prominent curved shape, which may have been creating the radiographic appearance of a stone. The following day, the horse appeared to be experiencing pain. Therefore, she was sedated for an exam and a nasogastric tube for treatment. Blood work revealed an elevated liver enzyme indicative of cholangiohepatitis. The horse remained hospitalized for treatment and was discharged on September 9th, 2023. Complainant contends that respondent was asked to perform blood work prior to performing surgery on the horse. She felt the surgery was unnecessary and respondent's conduct was unprofessional. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation, and the motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. we do not have the respondent here, but Mr. Stoll.
Monitoring,
and we've got the complainant, Kaylee Velasco, here. Would like to come forward. Hi, Kaylee. Thanks for being here and being so patient with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, go ahead, please state your name for the record, and then I can give you 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay, awesome. My name is Kaylee Velasco. Thank you so much again for having me. I wrote this letter because I just wanted to get everything.
Absolutely.
So I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not staring at you. I guess we're not, are we still in morning or afternoon? So good afternoon.
I know, right?
Members of the board, I am here today to discuss the facts and concerns that were addressed during the committee meeting. The reason I'm here today is solely based on reasons of my original appearance that were never addressed in the committee's closing. I'm hoping that this session will hear my concerns in full detail with an unbiased view. As you are aware, the decision was stated as no violation. As you are also aware, the accusations I present are of malpractice, negligence, and not upholding the standard of care while performing unethical practices. I support these allegations with Arizona's Ethical Standards Section R311-501. This code states that a vet shall show respect for the owner of an animal. It also states that a veterinarian who agrees to provide veterinary medical services to an animal is responsible for the welfare of the animal until the animal is released. The welfare of an animal being responsible care and human handling or humane handling. Arizona's ethical standards state that any breach of these standards constitutes grounds for disciplinary action. With that being said, not only was I disrespected on multiple occasions by Dr. Howard, my horse, Radio, who also has the right to be treated humanely, did not receive that respect. Dr. Howard was instructed by myself and qualified persons from Cave Creek Equine to conduct both types of blood work, CBC and chemistry, prior to surgery. The reason behind Cave Creek Equine not performing this blood work at their location was because Radio would be in Dr. Howard's care within a few days. After arriving at AZ Equine facility and conversing with their staff, I made it very clear that the chemistry and CBC were to be performed before the surgery to verify Radio was stable enough for a surgery. If these tests had taken place, as I requested, I would have kept Radio in my care. I would have placed her on antibiotics, ulcer medication, because we all know antibiotics probably can cause ulcers, and continued vitamin E that she was currently on. My reason for stating that I would keep her in my care is because I always have someone home. I have cameras, I'm set up. So AZ Equine facility is usually through off-site video monitoring for 24 hours. Every once in a while they have someone stay, but usually not 24 hours. I deserve the respect to make the correct decision for my own animal. Dr. Howard states that his reasoning for not performing blood work was because of her young age, and to his professional view, she looked healthy. If there is any doubt to my question or to my request of said blood work before surgery, I have many witnesses, including Cave Creek Equine, as well as AZ Equine Facility video recording. Not only is Dr. Howard's level of bedside manner in question, his level of integrity is far below par. Both my mother and I asked prior to surgery how the blood work looked. His face-to-face response was, "Everything looks great." After reviewing all medical records provided by AZ Equine Facility, it was proved to us in black and white that no blood work had ever taken place prior to surgery. It would be hard to deny that this is not a true example of gross negligence based on Arizona's own definition of gross negligence. Directly after surgery, Dr. Howard realized he had made a mistake by performing an operation without blood work. He seemed very upset at the situation and himself. Instead of expressing any ounce of compassion and owning up to a mistake in a professional manner, he instead became disrespectful. No response was given to us other than, "This has never happened to me before." The following day, Dr. Howard was called in to attend a Radio to perform exams. Within 5 minutes of sedating her, he was extremely aggressive, throwing things around the exam room and being physically aggressive towards already a traumatized animal. Radio was already in pain, in fear, and did not require to be handled in such a manner, thus causing further stress. Dr. Howard's reasoning for acting this way was, he stated very rudely to my mother and I, was because Radio was not standing still. His professional mindset, while Radio's life was his responsibility, according to Arizona's ethical standards, was to again give her more sedation. As I am sure you are aware, you are now running the risk of heart failure. My mother and I both urged him not to sedate her a second time. Radio is a 900-pound baby. She's not aggressive in any manner. She simply needed and should have been allowed at least 10 minutes for it to take effect as I asked, as any animal deserves. So I ask you, in your professional understanding of veterinary medicine, why would you further jeopardize a horse's health? That's welfare is your sole responsibility. Medically speaking, with all symptoms, serious liver infection, multiple sedations, stress, aggressive exams, unnecessary surgery, Radio should not be here today. Through her will and my love and dedication, we defeated the odds against us. And as Dr. Howard knows, through AZ standards, Arizona only limits him as a responsible party as long as the horse is in his custody. An animal with these issues and complications should not have been in care for at least 5 days. Dr. Howard's response after 2 days verbatim was, "I didn't even want to do the surgery to begin with, take her home." Through my hard work and sleepless nights over the past 6 months about, Radio's physical condition has improved drastically and her numbers are now within range. To date, no one has called to check on Radio or even check if she's alive, let alone apologize for attitudes or actions. The surgery was completely unnecessary and I truly wish it would have went in a positive manner for all parties. Dr. Howard in the beginning seemed like an honest vet, but in hindsight, I honestly believe maybe he's just become numb to his profession. I say this with a heavy heart because I know these accusations are not taken lightly, but if you can please hear my reasons behind these statements and possibly put yourself in my position, I'm sure you'd feel the same.
Thank you.
Step back. And
before you step back, there was a statement in there that I missed. The answer, it said something about the vet did not do blood work because of...
Dr. Howard didn't do blood work because she was young and said that usually I don't do blood work on young horses and she looked healthy.
Okay, so, but then it goes on to say that he said that everything looked great, like.
Yeah, I asked him right before he took her back, how did the blood work look in front of witnesses, cameras? He was like, everything looks great, blood work looks great. And I was like, okay, cool. So then when, after the surgery happened, when I was putting the piece together, I was like, wait a minute, you didn't do blood work? I specifically asked doctors at Cave Creek, specifically asked, and it was just like, I felt like I should have been able to make that decision with what I had requested. Like, that would have been my first thing.
So that came after?
After the surgery, yeah, and then they found out she has a liver. Wow. Yeah.
That was out of order, okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. James, your belief?
Yeah, so, I mean, this case, initially when I reviewed it, and I certainly understood the committee's findings and why they had said no violations, but my concerns really centered around this communication over the blood work. And I was had mixed feelings as to whether this was offered and declined or requested and not done. And I wasn't getting a good feel for what had happened. So based on that, and then hearing testimony today, it's even more of a concern as to, you know, what really went on there. And I think because of that, I would make the motion that we move 2437 to an informal.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move this case against Dr. Howard to an informal. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for being here.
And for review, when we do the informal, will we have the court reporter information, or can we get a copy of the statement that had, because some of that I didn't have in my.
Do you want me to send this to you?
Yeah,
just send it to me.
Yep.
Okay.
Great. Okay. We are now going to go to 2439 in regards to Melanie I don't even know how to attempt that. Bladusius, DBM.
All right.
Annalise,
so, case 2439, the complaint is Sandra Medovitz, and the respondent is Melanie Bladusius, DBM. On July 2nd, 2023, Stray, a 2-year-old intact female domestic shorthaired cat, was presented to the respondent for an exam and FDLV FIV test. On July 5th, 2023, the cat was presented to the respondent for abortive spay procedure. Blood work was completed and the spay procedure was performed. Cat was discharged to the complaint later that afternoon. On July 7, 2023, the cat was presented to the respondent's premises for a lethargy and nausea. A brief ultrasound scan of the abdomen was done, and the cat was given subcutaneous fluids and a syringe injection. Later that evening, the cat was presented to Jessica Schneider, DVM, on emergency for lethargy and foaming at the mouth. Blood work and an AFAS was done. Emergency exploratory surgery followed by hospitalization was recommended. Complaint elected to humanely euthanize the cat. An in-house necropsy was offered by Dr. Schneider and complaint agreed. Necropsy was done by Dr. Schneider and the uterine stump ligature entrapped both ureters but not the bladder. And the committee concluded that there were possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act. A motion was moved by Dr. Ryan, seconded by Dr. McCormick, that ARS 3222-3211, gross negligence, respondent ligated the cat's ureters during a spay procedure, compromising kidney function, which resulted in the pet owner euthanizing the cat. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the respondent here. We do have the complainant, Sandra. You'd like to come forward? Thank you so much for being here all day. We're so sorry for the loss of your cat as well.
Thank you.
But if you would just state your name for the record, and then I can give you up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Yeah, I'll be brief.
Okay.
My name is Sandra Medovitz. Thank you for extending an invitation to speak to you today. So Stray was inside my home for a short period of time. She became a part of the family and became known as Callie when I had to choose a name for her final resting paperwork. On behalf of Callie, my goal is to ensure this outcome doesn't affect any other animal. I'm not in a position to evaluate the best outcome for the situation, but I entrust to you the added benefit of knowing the details of the procedure, the processes in place, and the practice standards that would guide your decision-making. I'm hopeful these decisions are made with the facts and with the pets we love, rescue, adopt, and take care of, taken into consideration. My goal in coming here is to work together. I don't want to cause additional duress, but if there's anything I can do to assist or provide further, I'm available to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for being here and advocating for this cat, even though you didn't have her for long. So
thank you.
Thank you. You can go ahead and step back. And Dr. Wright, you are the lead on this case.
Yes, I am. It's an unfortunate situation, of course. I mean, surgeries can carry risks, and this is a complication of surgery, but something bad happened. We have the photos of the necropsy, and we have all the documentation. I think this is pretty straightforward. Unfortunately, this is ligation of ureters that resulted in the patient dying or being euthanized. I don't know if anybody has any more comments on this, but it's pretty cut and dry. So I'll make a motion to find a violation of ARS 3222.3211.
Can you just speak up a little bit?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So everybody can hear.
Yeah, I'll find a make a motion to find a violation of ARS 3222.3211, gross negligence. Respondent ligated cat's ureters during a spay procedure compromising kidney function, which resulted in the pet owner euthanizing the cat.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to find a gross negligence violation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
All right. we'll just kind of proceed forward with it, but do I do the consent agreement before the findings of fact and everything? Or findings of fact and findings of fact? Yeah. So I make a motion to find our findings of fact as the investigative committee's findings of fact and the conclusion of law is stated.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second for findings of fact and conclusions of law. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
So I would make a motion to offer a consent agreement to be signed within 30 days or amended to an informal. Basically, you want to do a continuing education in space or abdominal surgery,
right.
But
we have
priors.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Is there priors?
No
priors. Okay. Thank you.
Elective surgery.
Maybe. Yeah, so elective surgery. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff in spay, but there may not because it's such a basic thing. So I would say elective surgery, abdominal surgery, some kind of continuing education around.
How many hours did you say? Three?
I'd probably do four.
Four?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think this is an unfortunate thing. It's going to be more being careful and just identifying structures is the biggest thing here. And then, does anybody have any opinions on a civil penalty?
First. Time. I mean, I realize it resulted in the death of a cat, though. So
that's the issue for me.
Yeah.
I think the issue for me is that we don't have them here to hear commentary, and I feel like
how did this happen?
Outside of just medical records, and hopefully they're doing this because we don't know because they're not here. But maybe going and working with alongside another doctor and actually getting some hands-on mentorship would be a better option, or at least in addition to what Dr. Wright can control, which is the required CE. But I feel like this is a serious issue that you need to address.
And again, is this another new vet that doesn't have the experience yet in spays?
How long probation? I'm sorry.
with 4 hours, I was going to do a year. Sorry.
One year.
Yeah.
Because this is a practical thing. This is a hands thing. This isn't, education is good, but this is a practical thing that you get in vet school by sitting in with somebody like doctor and gradually working up to the point where you do spays without these potential things. So
the thing is, and Victoria's not here, I don't know if we've ever done practice monitors, but I've never actually said.
I don't think we have, and I don't even know if that's available. That's why I'm hesitant to do it, but I wish that
maybe
they could hear the discussion, because this is a serious thing that you're.
Or how about so many hours at a humane society? Or
can we do that?
I don't
even
think they would. Yeah, they don't probably necessarily
want
someone.
That would be, honestly, that would be what it is. And it's not that. It's just it would slow them down. They're not a training institution.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
So,
well,
in their high volume practice. Veterinarian that she could shadow?
Is that something we have the ability to do, though? I've never had a case that we've said you need to go work on another veterinary and do surgeries.
Well, and you know, I think under the appropriate circumstances you could, but you'd really have to button it up and you'd have to get that person's approval, and you know, so there's just layers to it.
I mean, is there a way to say we want the 4 hours and
you could do a
surgery?
It's a consent agreement anyway, so they don't have to sign it.
And we want to hear from you as to how you're going to mitigate this from happening again in the future. Like, we want you to write us a statement.
That's something we've
since
talked
we
about
didn't
before.
Get to ask that, right?
Yeah, you can do.
Yeah, so, I mean, because we have the clinical competency thing, but again, I don't think that really falls under that. Yeah. I don't know, maybe it would.
I mean, at least it makes the person think about what they're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope
that they could be home agonizing over this. I'm not saying they're
they
not.
They probably are.
Like,
probably,
I don't want it to sound like I'm thinking that they're...
I mean, this is not the first vet that's like it at yours.
No.
Let's be honest. I mean, that's happened before many times, and it's going to happen in the future. So can I say this was true negligence, or was this just a really weird, nasty uterus that we just didn't pull out and dissect enough? I mean, so I can't say even there's any kind of weird malice or anything like that. It's just this is something that happens. I mean, just like... I heard of cryptorchid neuters. I've never seen one, thankfully, that prostate was removed instead of a testicle.
Sure.
I mean, things happen.
Okay, well, let's, for time's sake, though, let's figure out what do we want to...
Yeah, is there a way we can steer this toward the responsible veterinarian in the practice? Quick story for me is I had a new graduate working for me who had problems with space. Mm-hmm. So we saw, she said I had problems with it, and they were taking forever. And I'm stressed and all. And I said, okay, for the next 3 months, we're going to figure out how I can do those with you. This is what's needed here.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can ask them how they're going to do it, because every situation is different. They may not have a good mentor. They may have to go to another clinic. They may have to go back to a school. They may have to. So I just think let's at least
this clinic
require the 4 hours, do the probationary period. And go either way on a civil penalty. I think the bigger thing is for them to submit to us, what are they doing to ensure that this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I mean, I think there could be a narrative that we could write for
make that.
Yeah.
So that, again, we can hear something from them.
Yeah. Say what do they think happened and how are they going to prevent this in the future on a narrative.
You would think it would be in their interest, the practice, to see that this doesn't. What can I do to see?
Yeah, but I hate to start going after practice owners for everything.
No, I didn't mean go after them. I'm saying steering toward some type of a practical experience with an experienced vet.
Yeah.
I wasn't placing blame.
Oh, I was like,
I wasn't putting blame on that.
Yeah.
Just the scenario I just gave you.
Yeah.
This particular practice has 15 veterinarians. Somebody can help this veterinarian out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Dr. Wright, what do you think?
So I'll make the motion to do 4 hours continuing education in elective abdominal surgery, reproductive surgery, something like that.
Okay.
And have the respondent submit a narrative of what they think happened here and how we're going to avoid this in the future.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second to offer this consent agreement. Did we?
A 1 year probation.
1 year probation, and then obviously not signed within 30 days, remand to informal.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do roll call.
Ms. Krieger.
Aye.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
And Dr. Wright.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, do we, because I realize now, so Tracy, with regard to 2478 or 24107, we need to...
107, we don't have anyone here for, but we do know Dr. Chamberlain is here.
Okay, so let's do that. I think everybody's already heard my spiel that we're super behind today, so just trying to get people on their way. So we're going to do number 2478 in regards to Kelly Chamberlain, DVM. Annalise is going to read the summary.
Case 2478, the complaint is the Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and the respondent is Kelly Chamberlain, DVM. At the December 13th, 2023 Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation after reviewing premises inspections conducted at Danza del Sol Veterinary Medical Center. And this didn't go to the investigative committee, it came straight to you.
Okay, and it looks like Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Yes, and I will
Ms.
try and
Chamberlain, come on forward. All right, so these ones, I'm always like, are you starting?
No,
so
I would like to hear from Dr. Shamrock first before I go into my speech.
Okay, and thank you. Thank you for being here all day. I hope at least you found it interesting or horrifying. I don't know which, but.
I've never been in a situation like this, so it was educational. A little bit of back history for me. I started a practice in 2014 and had that practice for a couple of years and then was in a heavy divorce battle and ended up with the practice through the divorce and then had to move the practice and has since moved the practice one more time after that. So essentially the practice has been moved 3 times. And this last move, we moved to an adjacent city, and having staff and consistent staff has been a problem in the small town that we're in, and that's kind of where most of the problems have lied, where, you know, I can't get consistent help, I can't get consistent management and reliable record keeping, etc. So that's been kind of my nemesis. Since the second inspection, since the first inspection, I started looking for a practice manager pretty heavily because I realized I cannot do this by myself and I need someone to take that off my shoulders. Knowing that it was going to be expensive and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So finally found someone about 5 months after the first inspection, found a practice manager, and then kind of got the ball rolling where we're just trying to fix everything. We've got new computer software, new x-ray, new blood machines, you know, trying to be practicing the best medicine and be as compliant as we can. And so then he was on board for a few months, and then we had our second inspection, which was scheduled from the first meeting by you guys, but I obviously didn't know when it was gonna be. And I remember when they walked in, I was like, not today. This is the worst day. Because the computer software was live for 48 hours and all of my staff was getting trained on that. And our focus was just kind of piecemealing, trying to get things set up one at a time. I think in my mind the major issue were the drug logs, because that was repeat events, and obviously that's not part of the software, you know, that's foundational. And I was pretty upset because I thought that that had been resolved, like, you know, we were good at it for, I think it was like 6 months after when the last date was written in the logbook or whatever. And then all of a sudden it stopped, and I was like, I thought that we were keeping up on this. I remember signing things, like, I don't remember that we had paused in our log keeping. So that took me by surprise. You know, I knew there were other little issues, and they had found not the same expired items, but different expired items on the second investigation. But again, you know, my focus was really the drug logs. Come on, people, like, this is my fanny, you know, that's right on the line here. So since the second inspection, I had them document today and was like, we're gonna send this, you know, now, because it's up to date every day. I make sure they have to bring the logbooks to me every single day, even if I sign them during the surgery, you know, anesthesia, when they draw them up, I sign them. But at the end of the day, I want to see all of them completed, you know, the x-ray log, the everything. So I've become more strict about that, but also the office manager takes a lot of my, you know, burden away so that I can focus on more doctor stuff, and then he's kind of more disciplinary. I'm not a very good disciplinarian, and
in our small town, everybody knows everybody, and as a veterinarian, I walk a fine line of, you know, they were a client, but then they're an employee, but then they're, you know, things like that. So, or they know someone that worked for me, et cetera. So I try to stay out of that kind of stuff. So it's nice to have the office manager that can be heavy-handed with things like that. But we have taken this very seriously. I did hire a lawyer. Unfortunately, they were already in a lawsuit today in court, so they couldn't come. But I mean, this sucks, you know, and I take it very serious. So,
thank you. James,
go ahead. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. When did you take over this practice again?
I started it.
You started it. So prior to September of 2017?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I went back and even looked at that inspection and saw many of these problems occurred there.
Yeah.
Concern is that we've been assured they were fixed a couple of times, and they weren't.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's providing false information to the board, to the board staff, and I think that's a major concern when we're provided with false information. The repeat violations issues deal with permanent outdoor signage. Have you gotten a permanent sign yet? It's very late, I understand, over 8 months late.
Right, yeah, so the issue was with the sign maker, the permits, and then the building's ability to have lights up there. So we've been coordinating all that stuff. Right now we have a non-permanent sign that's lit. So, I mean—
Any plans of when that's gonna be remedied?
I'm still talking with the building owner to get the permanent box. It has to be a lit box, like
right,
to the city
right.
code and all that kind
right.
of stuff. Has to be a lit box. So the permitting for that with the county has been the holdup. But I'm hoping within the next few months we get
how many?
That.
I
don't
yeah.
have
a. Oh, I don't know that. Can you judge what county does?
Yeah.
Believe me, I would like to have that crystal ball.
But my concern is that this has already been going on for, you know, this will come up again as a repeat violation again when you're re-inspected again. So I appreciate that there are certain permissions, having been a county planning director.
Exactly.
Sometimes there are delays, but the onus is still on the requirement is on you and your practice. So I don't know if you've been reaching out directly to the county. If you know who you're dealing with, let them know that there are, you know, that the state is involved now with this and are concerned that the signage is not permanent and it's not lit. Let me go on to the other repeat violations. Unfortunately, there are a few. Expired.
Can you do me a favor and kind of summarize them?
Yes, I am. Expired supplies, expired pharmacy items, no anesthesia log on the premises, controlled substance dispensing log, and inventory logs are insufficient. Medical records have problems, and pharmacy labels, most of which had previously been reported to have been corrected by the responsible veterinarian or your staff. Understand that when your staff respond on your behalf, it's still your license.
Oh yeah,
okay.
I understand
okay.
that.
That's what a lot
so
of-
So the pharmacy label, it was a different thing each time. So the first time it was my name and it was that software. And then we moved software, and that day those labels were printing out without a phone number or something, like, or a DBM after my name or something. It was completely different, and because of the new software, that the label was still awry, but it had been corrected.
Okay. It's the same violation, whether it's the phone number or the name or whatever is not being properly labeled. Okay, based on the facts that I briefly summarized, I would move that we adopt the division report of to the board for today's meeting, items 1 through 11 as the findings of fact. And would you like me to go through the conclusions of law right now?
Sure.
Okay. Conclusions of law would be ARS 2232-33A, 1, unprofessional and dishonorable conduct, making false reports in writing, response to the 9/7/17 inspection and the 1/11/23 inspection reports to the board and staff, stating that all potential violations documented in that report had been remedied. Second one is ARS 32-2274A3 as it relates to R311-7012, and that has to deal with the sign. So, you know, I would encourage you to take these documents to the county and say, look guys, this, you're getting me in trouble here. The next one is ARS 32-2274A5 as it relates to R311-502D. There were expired supplies found on the premises. ARS 32-2274A5 as it relates to R311-502J2. There were expired pharmacy supplies found on the premises. ARS 32-2274A6 as it relates to R311-502H5, there have to be Anastasia logs maintained on the premises. ARS 32-2274A4 as it relates to R311-502K3, inconsistencies when making entries into controlled substance logs. And we do focus a lot on controlled substances. ARS 32-2274A4 as it relates to R311-502K2 needs to maintain controlled substances inventory logs on the premises. ARS, there's only two more. ARS 32-2274A6 as it relates to R311-502L6, which is medical records issues, and ARS 32-2281A1A, pharmacy labels need premises phone number, and they need to be made clear who the dispensing veterinarian is. And again, that's all, those are the same section. So whether it's the phone number or the name, it's the same violation.
They were different systems though, okay. That's what happened.
Okay, so I move adoption of the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
So
yeah, you go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I don't know the best way to do this. I think the findings of fact as what was found in the inspection, I'm in agreement with. The first one with false statements, I disagree.
Was what I was
so if we're going to vote on this, I think we either need to vote on those separately rather than combining them, or we're gonna have to go back and do it all over again, because I just feel like we got a response, and yes, some of these things haven't changed, but we don't know that that was due to her intentionally saying, oh, I'm not gonna change all of these. We heard logical explanations as to why something might have gone back and reverted to a prescription label not printing appropriately or things like that. And I just feel like you've gone through a move of a clinic, you've tried, like, I can see where some of these things happen. And we have a veterinarian in front of us who's trying to be up front with what happened, and I totally disagree with.
I know.
Getting
I feel
to the
like
point that you can say she intentionally made false statements.
False statements feels a little bit harsh to me at this particular moment.
Well,
so,
I'm going to be completely honest. I can't remember too many inspections where it hasn't been something that's been found.
Well, yeah. We.
I mean, usually when we find one that says no violations, we're like, oh my God.
We have
so,
a few of them coming up.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. So, I mean, why? I just don't.
That's what I said on the phone earlier.
I
think
don't get where
in
we're going
premise inspections, you are going to find stuff.
It's not a question of finding stuff. Excuse me for interrupting, but it's a question of responding to the board and the staff saying everything's been fixed. We go out again, or all these specific things have been fixed. We go out again. There, we find they're still either they have reverted or they were never fixed to begin with. And this, and I defer to Annalise, this happens probably all too often. and...
And I think each case is different.
I can't really speak to that, because I don't do that many repeats.
But I think this one is different, because in the time period this clinic worked, there's been staffing changes, there's been systems changes, there's been all sorts of things that would cost your premise not to have things the way you would want them. And I'm not justifying it, I think there's violations that we need to find. What I'm saying is, I don't think we can go to the point of saying this were false, intentional false statements, and indicating that somebody was being unethical. I don't feel comfortable with that.
And I think it also, like what Victoria said earlier, right, whenever we're doing these inspections, you get a response, right? What is the tone, right? What is the response to, here's the efforts that I'm making, like being genuinely like committed to making this happen. I think I'm getting to sit here today, she knows this can't happen again. Like, I've got to be very aware of these things. Yes, I'm a veterinarian, but I'm also the premise license holder. This is my practice. It has my name on it. So, no, you can't. You can have a practice manager, but if they don't know those things, they don't know what they don't know also, right? And it's nice, because these things that we have here that you guys are referring to are all on the website. So you can look it up regularly. You can do trivia with your team. You can do all kinds of things like that. So I think that the what was stated there sounds like, yes, it was almost like malicious, like, haha, I'm not going to do it. But it wasn't that. And so, yes, there are facts that involved in this. Let's just find those things and give her the information that she's gained today and move on. But I don't think it was intentional either.
So do we want to just vote on the findings of fact?
Well,
first,
I think we could give Jane an opportunity to amend the motion, and then we could vote on it. Or if she doesn't want to, we can vote on it the way it is and see what happens.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Yeah, let's vote on it the way it is. And if it doesn't pass, then I'll amend.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a motion. We do not have a second.
Great. So it dies for lack of a second.
Well, does anyone? I don't mean we
well,
don't
I
have one.
Well, I thought you
would share
it.
I meant we hadn't gotten one yet, Jane. Let me rephrase that.
Would anyone like to second this motion? If not, okay.
Okay, I would move then that we modify the conclusions of the law to delete the first one that I mentioned, which was ARS 2232-33A for providing false information to the board.
Okay.
And did I, that, okay, that yes, so would that cover the findings of fact and conclusions of law?
Do we have a second on the conclusions of law now?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, the order.
So do we want to, do we need to hear any
priors?
Okay.
No priors. Thanks for it. Let's go with 1 year probation and 8 hours of CE, 2 hours each of controlled substance management, medical records, and 4 hours, 2 hours each of those two, and 4 hours of practice management. Civil penalty, no priors. Okay. I'm going to modify the, since there are no priors, the civil penalty substantially. It was going to be close to $2,700 for the two uncontrolled substances. That would have been $500 a piece, as well as the other repeat violations. I'm going to just reduce that to $1,000 even for all of them.
Okay. Does anybody have any heartburn over that? $1,000 civil penalty and the 8 hour CE?
Any re-inspection?
Yes.
Direct staff to re-inspect within a year?
Yes, thank you, yes. And if not signed within 30 days.
Okay, if there's no, let's do a roll call on that.
Ms. Crager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you for being here today. Again, take this as a, you know, this was a great learning opportunity, and, you know, we hopefully won't see you, you know, here again. So thank you. Tracy, where are we? Anything else we need to?
I don't know.
Okay. Does anyone need to stop and run to the restroom real quick? Because again, once we start the informal, okay. We're getting someone on the phone here, so. So we are on section number three.